We're glad you're here today. We are going to look at some scripture that we talked about recently, several times, I think, about the love of God. His love endures forever. That's a quote you'll see on the screen there. And next slide has the actual scripture from Psalm 136. And it says in Psalm 136, verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord." Why are we supposed to be grateful? Give thanks to the Lord. Because His love is pretty special. Because His love, you better watch out, you may lose it. Because His love is only for a few. What does it say? His love, what does endure forever mean? He will always be love. After this world is finished, and we have a new heavens and a new earth, Peter wrote, and after all that has happened, this amazing, amazing one we call God, Father, Son, and Spirit, the deity, the Godhead, the Trinity, however you want to term it, Him, He is and always will be love. And His love endures forever. You can't outrun His love. You can't outdo His love. You can't really outsin His love, because if you repent and come back, He still loves you, right? I mean, He loves you anyway, but He'll take you back. Take you back. Remember the prodigal son? We call it that. That's not what the Bible calls him, but wanted his inheritance, and he ran off to the foreign country. He got his inheritance. Went off and spent and wasted all of it. Got down to where he was feeding pigs. There was a famine in the land. He couldn't even find anything to eat in that foreign land. And he got down to where he was feeding pigs, a good Jewish boy feeding pigs. And it says he looked at the food they were eating and thought, that looks pretty good. And then he came to himself. And he said, "My father's hired men live better than this. I'm going to go back. And I'm going to ask, I'm not even going to ask to be a son again. I just want a job. I got to eat. I got to have a job." So he headed back. The father saw him way down the road. Saw this little figure way down the road, the Bible says. The father saw him coming. And I suspect the father looked and he thought, that looks familiar. First he probably thought, some guy traveling around looking for a job. Maybe I can find a job for him. And then it looked familiar. That might be him. How many years had he waited? How many decades maybe? We don't know. A long time. Thought the boy was dead. Literally says that later, does. Thought the boy was dead. And he saw him coming. He realized who he was. So he went back in the house and said, "Nope, can't come back in." No, what did it say? He ran. The old man ran to hug this son who had wasted all his inheritance. That son who's coming back now needing help. That son who probably smelled like pigs. And he embraced him. And the son tried to get his little speech in. The old man wouldn't even listen. "My son is back. Let's have a party. My son is back. I thought he was dead. Now we got him back." Jesus told that story to say, your father is that way. I don't know who's listening to this. Somebody will be listening to this later. We do have a podcast, you know, and we have CDs and all that stuff, but whoever you are, if you've messed up and you've gotten to that point where you don't think anybody will take you back, much less God, just start home. Start walking in His direction. You say, "Well, I don't know how to do that." Just pray. No fancy religious language. Just say, "God, I need help." His love endures forever. Did that old man's love endure forever till the son got back? Sure it did. His love endures forever. I'm glad it does, aren't you? Are you glad His love endures forever? Because we've all tried His patience, haven't we? But He is so patient. He is so wonderful in His forgiveness. We're going to look at a scripture here 1 John chapter 4, you'll see it on the screen there, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. This is a New American Standard. You see all these letters behind the scriptures I put up there, they're translations of the Bible. Did you know the New Testament was written, close to 2,000 years ago? The New Testament was written close to 2,000 years ago in ancient Greek. I'm glad that you don't have to go to school and take ancient Greek to learn to read the Bible. People have translated it for us into English or whatever language a person happens to need. And so when you read these words, remember that. It is because you see different letters behind these quotations, what that means is a different translation. There are many, many good ones out there. Many good ones out there. New American Standard Bible is one of the most accurate ones. What do I mean by accurate? As far as the original Greek is. Now, some people translate the Greek. They don't really translate it. They read it, and then they paraphrase it and make a commentary on what they think it said. I want to know what it said, don't you? I mean, I want to know what it says. So, what does this say? 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. John says, we have come to know and have believed the love God has for us. We have come to know, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Let me read it from the New International Version. NIV says, and we know and rely on the love God has for us. Or some other translations. Let me give you a quick, some of the other ones say things like this. Amplified Bible says, we have come to know by personal observation and experience and have believed with deep and consistent faith the love which God has for us. Now, they added some words, but that's basically it. Complete Jewish Bible. Also, we have come to know and trust the love God has for us. Contemporary English Bible. This is how we stay one with God and are sure He loves us. It's another way of putting it, right? Easy to read version. You like that one? So we know the love that God has for us, and we trust that love. God is love. We trust that love. One called God's Word says, we have known and believed that God loves us. King James. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. The Message, which really isn't a translation, is just kind of a paraphrase. We know it so well and we've embraced it heart and soul. The love that comes from God. We have embraced it heart and soul, he says. New International Reader's Version. So we know that God loves us. We depend on it. The Reader's Version is easier to read. Young's Literal. This one goes right back directly to the Greek language. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. Do you get the point? What's John saying? Well, we as believers in God, we as believers on Christ, we know and believe the love God has for us. Now, the problem is sometimes we don't believe it very much. We make a mistake, we mess up, we fool around and do things we shouldn't do, say things we shouldn't say. And we get the feeling estranged from God, as if He's distant and we're distant from Him. And we lose our way and we lose the appetite for prayer and the appetite for church and the Bible reading, what the Bible has to say about life. We lose that appetite because we get to a point where we think, well, I made so many mistakes and I'm not the person I should be. And not only am I not the Christian I should be, I'm not even the person I should be. I have a struggle. And the things I say that I will never do, I wind up doing. And the things I say, I want to do the right thing, I say I want to do this right thing, and I never quite get around to doing the right thing. And that comes right out of Romans chapter 7, doesn't it, where Paul said that about himself. And so we get to a point where we feel estranged from God, and usually the first thing that goes, and we really have to watch this, if we as a church and we as believers really care about each other, we'll start watching it. What are we watching? Well, usually the first thing that happens is when somebody loses their appetite, spiritual appetite, because they have messed up or they just go through a period of boredom with it all, they miss assemblies. They don't come every time the doors are open. When I was growing up in church, we went, my mom and dad were great. There were things they didn't get done, but we went to church all the time. I mean, every time the doors were open. I'm like Jeff Walling. Jeff Walling spoke here one time, and he said, when I was growing up, I had a drug problem. They drugged me to church. Well, that's what happened to me. I was drugged to church a lot, and sometimes I protested, but, you know, I did it. So if you lose that appetite, I know sometimes we go because we're supposed to. No. Do you enjoy coming here? You sure? You don't look like it. Some of you do. Do you enjoy being here? You do? Okay, well, good. It's more than, I guess I better go to church today. If you notice that you go ahead and decide to come, you'll feel better after you get here, won't you? You'll feel better after you get here. You lose that appetite for coming, that appetite for being together, that appetite for prayer. God doesn't want to hear from me anyway. Some people have that attitude, don't they? That appetite for Bible reading, you lose all that. And the outgrowth of all that is you get to the point where you think, God really couldn't care that much for me. I'm not a super saint. I'm not one of those great believers I look up to. I barely can struggle and get through. So does God really love us? Oh, He does. He does. I've seen it happen. A teenager, young person gets off the rails. They wind up on drugs. Start down that path. Life falls apart. But there's always somebody in their life that won't give up on them. It's mama usually, but always somebody hangs in there to the end. I've seen it work out at the end too. I've seen parents put up with that for a couple of decades, and finally the child, the young person, is off the drugs. And see, that love is nothing compared to God's love for you. God's love for you is eternal. He won't let go. He just won't let go. He won't give up on you. You give up on yourself, you'll give up on yourself, but He won't give up on you. He just keeps coming, and He keeps coming, and He keeps coming. And He'll keep putting things in your path, and He'll keep putting things where you can see it, and you'll come across a scripture one day, and you'll think, oh, I remember that, or He'll do something. He keeps working. That's why we pray over this notebook all the time with a bunch of names in it of people that need to hear the gospel. We pray over it because we know God does that kind of thing. He stays in somebody's life. He's persistent. This is in verse 4, chapter 4 rather, verse 16. We know and rely on the love God has for us, New International Version. But if you back up to verse 13, you'll not see any of this on the screen. I didn't. If I put all this on the screen, I'm going to talk about, then you wind up with, we burn up my computer, you know. We'll fry the projector here. So you're going to have a Bible handy, or it would help anyway. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. We know. John's big on knowing things, right? We know. Was John the apostle of love? He's called the apostle of love because he kept saying, I'm the one that Jesus loves. I'm the one Jesus loves. This is the apostle that Jesus loves. Get into a habit of saying that. That make you laugh the first couple of times, but keep doing it. Thank you, Lord. I'm the one you love, ain't I? I'm the one. Well, John didn't mean it. Jesus didn't love anybody else. It's just like, I'm first in line. If you're handing out the love, Jesus, I want to be first. I'm the one. That's boldness, but the Bible says, come near to the throne in Hebrews. Come near to the throne of grace with boldness. God wants you to be bold. Was that father of that son who ran away from home and then came back was that father glad to see that son. And the son was bold enough to go back home. Embarrassing, wasn't it? To go back home and say, the father didn't know what had happened to him. He just knew he was gone. He knew he was gone. And so the son comes back and it's embarrassing to have to say, I lost everything. Can I please come back? Can I please come back? Well, that was kind of bold, and the father received him. Our God doesn't mind boldness. Now, you can't even be insulting to God or irreverent, but you can be bold. You notice little ones are pretty bold with grandma, aren't they? Pretty, you know, if they want something, can I have ice cream, you know? They're pretty bold about it. Verse 13, we know that we live in him. In who? In God. And he in us. Because, how do we know God lives in you? Because he has given us of his Spirit. He gave us your Holy, gave you your, his Holy Spirit. He's given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him. And he in God. And we know and rely on the love God has for us. Wait a minute, what did he say? He said, if you believe in Jesus, I assume you do or you wouldn't be in here, probably. You believe in Jesus, what happens? Well, you have the Holy Spirit come into you. You know, we like to quote Acts 2:38. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We forgot that part, didn't we? Some churches have. You receive what? Gift. It's a gift. You can't earn the Holy Spirit. You don't deserve God living in you, but he does it anyway. Because his love is eternal. Any way into you, any way into your life, he'll take it. And he brings his Holy Spirit into your life. Verse 14, we've seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him. God lives in who? The one that acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God. If you're a believer and you say, he's the Son of God, he's my Lord, I've made him my Lord, I accept him as my Lord, and I've obeyed the gospel, he says, when that happens, this in verse 14, or verse 13, I'm sorry, 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, what happens? God lives. I thought God lived in heaven. I thought God lived in heaven. Mm-hmm. Well, he does. Can God be in two places at one time? Mm-hmm. Can God be in a million places at one time? Of course he can. Oh, we got to get into this. This is the chance for us to live the kind of Christian life you always wanted to live. But you keep failing. You keep failing at it and failing. And you disappoint yourself again and again. Oh, this is your chance. Because you can get a revelation today from these passages that I have accepted Christ as my Lord. I've obeyed the gospel. And because I have, God is not ashamed to call us family. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He comes in. He moves in. He takes on your life. He wants to help you. He wants to be with you. He wants to spend time with you. That's not a picture of God that a lot of religions teach, is it? A lot of religion, even Christian religion sometimes, why you're a filthy worm and God doesn't want anything to do with you. You're just lucky he even lets you live. That's not what that says, is it? What does that say? His love endures forever. Verse 16, we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And this way, love is made complete among us, mature. Whoever lives, back up the verse, God is love. This is part of verse 16. Whoever lives in love lives in God. If you live with God, then you're going to naturally, he's going to rub off on you. Jesus is going to rub off on you and you're going to love people. You say, well, I don't like people. I don't even like people, much less love people. People are so bad and so many terrible things going on in the world. No, it'll just kind of rub off on you. And you'll say, those poor people, they need some help. People talk about hypocrites in the church. I don't go to church with too many hypocrites. I'm thinking that's where they need to be, in church. Maybe something good will rub off while they're in church. Does God care about them? You know, if there were no hypocrites in church, there wouldn't be any churches, hardly, would there? God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Would you like to be facing the day of judgment and say, I'm sure everything's okay. Everything's okay between me and God. Between the Father and me, it's good. Everything's good. I have confidence. I have boldness on the day of judgment. How come you have confidence on the day of judgment? Because God is in me and his love is in me. Because in this world, we are like him. We're what? How was Jesus in this world? Well, the world did not understand him. And they persecuted him and eventually killed him. But he still loved them. Are we like that in this world? We are in the world, but not of the world. We walk with Christ. We live out the Christian life in the middle of a world that does not understand. We're like Jesus in this world, aren't we? That's why we're here. That's why he left you here. It would have been easier, I guess, if the day you were baptized, he would have taken you to heaven. I had a guy ask me that one time. He had so many problems in his life. But when I was baptized into Christ, why didn't he just take me? Well, he had a plan for that guy. And he has a plan for you, doesn't he? There's no verse 18. There is no fear in love. And we got to get this is why we got to get a revelation of all of this. If you're living in fear, you don't yet believe the love of God. People think, well, you don't understand. I got a lot to fear. There's a lot out there I'm scared of, and I got a lot to be afraid of. What did that say? Verse 18, there's no fear in love. But perfect love, perfect in the Greek doesn't mean flawless, it means mature. Mature love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. See, if I don't deserve punishment, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the judgment day if I don't deserve anything bad. If my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm okay. I don't worry about judgment day, do you? Do you get the idea? He's saying that if you have confidence in the love of God, you don't have to worry about messing up and making mistakes. There's no fear in love, verse 18, but perfect love drives out fear. Would you like to be rid of fear? Would you like to be rid of the fears that come on you? They're going to be there. We're not in an isolated world. There are times when fear is going to come in. But you don't have to let it inside. You don't have to let it inside. We talked a lot in class today about that idea of the inner person, learning to build your inner person, that God's Spirit dwells in us and he wants to build us up. And building up that inner person is similar to this right here where he said this. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made complete in love or mature in love. If love is in you, you don't fear. You don't have that inner being. You don't let the fear in, is what I'm trying to say. The fear is going to be around you. It's going to try to get into your mind. It's going to try to make you worry. Jesus said, do not worry, didn't he? I mean, that's a command. He said, if you're going to be my disciple, drop the worry. Matthew chapter 6. If you're going to be my disciple and you worry, stop it. Did he say that? He said that. He said, well, you don't understand, Lord. I think he understands. I think he understands us better than we understand ourselves. And he says, stop worrying and stop fearfulness. Why? I know God loves me. If I know he loves me, I've got a revelation of his love. That revelation of his love drives out the fear because I know he loves me. And I know, if I know he loves me, and I know he's all-powerful, and I know his love endures forever, and I know he knows me well, and he knows I'm that son that ran away and came back. He knows my past, and it doesn't frighten him. He knows my past, and it doesn't turn him off. His love is so spectacular, eternal, divine, that he loves me forever. If I know that, then I'm not worried. It's like, some people say, if you got a problem, you know, and they'll say, oh, let me help you with that. I know a guy. What are they saying? I know somebody can pull some strings, you know. Do you know somebody? Do you know a father? Do you have a father in heaven? Will he help you? He's eager to help us. The judgment side of this thing, Christ took care of. He died so you don't have to go to hell. He died and died for the sins of the world, yours included, so you don't have to worry about all that. And when you make mistakes like the son did, the prodigal son did, you just say, Father, I'm back, I'm sorry, help me. Would you help me? He's amazing. Do you get that? Does he understand that? He's so amazing that your sin and that your mistakes and your bad behavior and the times you messed up, they don't scare him. He's like, come on, come on, come on in. The old man in the story of the son who ran away, he's so gracious with that son. In fact, Jesus is talking about that. Gospel of Luke, it's kind of like it's what the father is. He brought the son in and they had a party. And he said, go to my closet and get that best robe and put it on him. I got a jewelry box. I got some big ring. Go get the biggest ring I have and put it on him. What? Boy smelling like pigs, and they put that beautiful robe on him, and they put that ring on his finger. Come on, let's have a party. Start the barbecue. And we're going to have a party. Older brother comes in. He's flabbergasted. He could hear outside working. He could hear noise. And he said to the servants, what's going on there? I hear music or something to that effect. He was hearing the music. Oh, your brother's home and having a party. He wasn't happy, was he? He wasn't happy at all. See, human beings would judge and cut you off and say, you don't deserve it. Why is he giving him a party? He doesn't deserve anything. Make him live on the back 40 over there in a cabin and give him, you know, just enough food to survive. We don't want him around. But God is so gracious. His grace is beyond our understanding. His love is eternal. It lasts forever. So the old man got the party going, and the older son comes in and says, you never gave me a party like this. He said, wait a minute. Everything I have is yours. Remember how that all got started? The son went to the father. The son that wanted to go off into the foreign country came to the father and said, give me my part of the inheritance. And in that passage it says, he divided the inheritance. He gave them both their inheritance. That's why he told the older son, everything I have is yours. You got it all. But this son came back. I thought he was dead, and he's back. We've got to have a party. Rejoice. There's going to be some partying in heaven, isn't there? Because people are going to be in heaven, and they're going to say, even though my past, I'm here. By the grace of God, I'm here. Look at our Father, how gracious He is. Rejoicing forevermore. And we will all be with Him forever. And as we are with Him forever, we enjoy because of what Christ did for us. There's an old song, used to touch me, the guy singing this old gospel song. Can't remember the name of it, but it was, the passage goes like this. He died and went to heaven. And the song, he dies, goes to heaven, and he meets St. Peter, and you know, all these things we build up about heaven. And do you want to see Abraham? No, I don't want to see Abraham. Do you want to see Isaiah the prophet? No, I don't want to see Isaiah the prophet. Runs through a list of people. No, I don't want to see them. I want to see Jesus. When you get to heaven, boy, he'll be the main attraction. One that used to look like us, he's on the throne. He's at the right hand of God, the Father. He says we can come up there and be with them. We will judge angels, the Bible says. We're God's kids. We're God's family. By His grace. Isn't that amazing? By His grace. We know and believe the love God has for us. You got to get that revelation. He really does love me. He really does care. Sometimes we think we're bigger than God. I'm so bad. I'm so tough. I've done so many bad things. And I remember a guy telling, he preached at a church in Abilene. I think it was Lynn Anderson, preached at a church at Abilene. And they had a little revival going on among the bikers in that community. And the bikers were showing up to get saved. And one day he said, this guy started out, there was another biker sitting at the back of the church, and we gave the invitation and said, here comes this boy, rough looking guy, swaggering down the aisle. And he said, preacher said, how can I help you today? I said, well, I saw Jim come in here the other day. He came out just slobbering all over himself. I got to find out what that was all about. Said something about Jesus. He could tell his buddy, partner in crime, had been so touched by Jesus' love, he said, I got to have some of that. Can you imagine their background and how they grew up and how tough their life was? They found hope. They found hope. His love endures forever. Never quits. Doesn't matter who you are, how far down you are, what you've done, or what you haven't done. You say, but I've got a lot of things I should have done. We all do. This is a big revelation, if you can catch it. God does not want your money. He does not want your religious behavior. He wants you. He wants you. Lock, stock, and barrel. You. Why would he want me? Ask him. I don't know. I don't know why he does all this, except that's who he is. He is God. John just said it, right? He is love. God is love, and he cares. We know and believe the love God has for us. When I saw that, I thought, well, we need to find out what faith is, because he said it comes by faith. Do you know and believe the love God has for you? So I put another scripture up here. We're not going to have time to say much about it, but it's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. How does faith come? Consequently, he says, Romans 10, 17, this is a Lexham English Bible, which is a very accurate, more modern translation, but it's very accurate. Consequently, faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, or a word about Christ. So faith comes by hearing. If you look at Romans 10 for a minute, if I am going to experience the love of God fully, John says when we get to that point, we will experience God's love fully. It will be that we believe, we know, and we believe the love of God. We don't just hear about it. We don't just study it. We don't just know how to put it together in phrases. He said, we'll get to a point where you believe, you have a solid faith in His love, that He does love you. Well, how does that come? Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, the whole thing is about faith. And it begins with the idea that Paul is writing to the Roman church and saying, Basically, he's saying there was the old law and now there is grace. And under the old law, in Romans 10, he talks about his people, the Jews, and he says, my heart's desire and prayer for them is that they believe, that they are saved. In chapter 10, verse 1, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. He said, I can testify they are all into righteousness, but it's righteousness of the law. They don't understand the righteousness of God. Then he comes to verse 5, and he says, Moses, he's quoting Moses, described in this way, righteousness by law. You can attempt to have righteousness by your own goodness, but you will never understand the love of God. If you're trying to earn it from God, keep trying to earn things from God. Am I saying we don't do anything? No, I'm saying you got to have the foundation first. You build a house, you got a foundation. And you build a building, you got to have a good foundation. This foundation in this building has been here since 1965, I think it was. There's a good one. That foundation doesn't mean you can't go on to other things. So the idea of building the foundation on how important God's love is, you can build other things and it will be secure. Then your discipleship life will be more effective if you know you're loved, if you know God loves you. If you don't know you're loved, you're nervous. If you don't know you're loved, you're kind of nervous about God. You're kind of, I hate to get too involved because I might make a mistake. Well, you will make a mistake sooner or later. We all do. Build the foundation on the love of God. Be rooted. Didn't we read that in Ephesians where he says that you might be rooted and established in the love of God? And know how long and high and wide and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love. So build the foundation of love. The old law didn't do that. In fact, Moses says it here, the man who does these things will live. In other words, if you want to be okay with God, you better do the law. If you're not going to do the law, we'll take you out and stone you. They stoned people back then for violating the Sabbath. They stoned people back then. Young people, teenagers, cursing their parents. Some of them got put to death. Well, that would thin out the teen population, wouldn't it? That's the law. That's under law, righteousness under law. But Paul's talking about a different kind of righteousness, which is the righteousness of God. Verse 6, the righteousness that is by faith, are we looking at faith? We're trying to say this idea in 1 John is what? Know and believe the love of God. Well, how do I do that? Got to have faith. Well, what's faith? He says faith is this. Faith says, don't say in your heart who will ascend to heaven to bring Christ down. What does he mean by that? Faith doesn't say, Lord, when are you going to come help me? Lord Jesus, come down and help us. But faith doesn't say that. What does faith say? Faith doesn't say who will ascend to heaven or who will descend into the deep to bring Christ up? What does it say? It says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is a word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For as with the heart you believe and are justified, with the mouth you confess and are saved. What is he talking about? What's he talking about is this. What does faith say? When's God going to help me? Come down and help me. Come up from Christ has been raised already. So he said, he's saying that this is how righteousness by law works, but righteousness by faith says, I don't need all that. I know he's already here. I already have his words. His words are in me. They're where? In my heart. In my mouth. Did you know your mouth and your heart are connected? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Lord said, the evil man brings out of his heart evil things and they come out of his mouth. So the law, or rather the faith that we're looking for, says what? Verse 8. I've got his word. Have we got his word already? I got his word. Where is it? I'm putting it in my heart. And what happens then? It comes out of my mouth. So you're going around all cheerful and you're thinking, you keep saying, I'm sure glad God loves me. I'm sure glad he cares for me. I'm sure glad his love is eternal. I am so glad. I am so glad that God loves me. Rather than saying, I'm a terrible person. Another mistake. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to give up on everything. I'm going to give up on this Christian life because I can't do it. It's not faith, is it? Faith takes a word, and this is my internal software. Supernatural internal software goes into me, and my systems react. And as my systems react, what happens? Words start coming out. Words of confidence, words of love, words of boldness. Do you want to have the life that says, I know He loves me. I have no doubt. And He will work with me. If I mess up, He'll help me. If I mess up, He'll send somebody my way to help me. I have full confidence. A lot of people worry about, Christians worry about, well, what if I can't live it? And what if I fall away? And what if I turn my back on God and blaspheme the Holy Spirit and all these things we worry about? If you know He loves you, you don't worry about all that. What comes out of you? Bible comes out of you. The old story about out in the country, they had a little old courtroom and somebody had to have court that day and way out in the middle of nowhere. And looking around for a Bible because they had to have people sworn in, looking for a Bible, couldn't find a Bible. Anybody got a Bible? Nobody had a Bible in the courtroom. Finally, somebody said, well, this old fellow here, he's been preaching about 60 years. Get him up there. Preacher got up there and said, okay, put your hand on his head. Said he knows about all of it. So do you want to be that person that says, it's in me. It's in me. It's growing in me. Well, without reading it, you'll never have that. Without listening to it, you'll never have that. Without the assemblies being a top high priority of your life, you'll never have that. Do you want to know and believe the love God has for you? Sure you do. Wow, what a life. You know, love is about the greatest thing there is on this planet. God is love, right? And to know you're loved is powerful. Know it. Seek it. Ask for it. Look for it in the Word of God. Believe, believe, believe. You have to believe to be saved, don't you? Don't you have to believe on Jesus? Believe He's the Son of God? Believe He died for your sin? Well, you can believe He loves you. Believe. The next slide we're going to go through hurriedly, but the next slide I just put up because it fascinates me. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. What he's saying is religious rituals, not so much. The only thing that counts. Now that's a big statement, isn't it? That's Paul writing in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. The only thing that counts is what? Faith working through love. Faith operates through love. Faith and love are first cousins. God puts faith in you when you become a believer. You get more out of the Word of God. And that faith in you helps you understand this thing we're talking about, that I know and believe the love God has for me. Faith is the generator that brings all that to pass. A deeper understanding of the love of God. The last slide is our prayer slide. We're going to be praying because we love these people, don't we? We love these folks. You may not have been here before, but all these names in here are people that our church turned these names in, so other people have too. The names have been turned into us of people who don't know the Lord, or people who have and they fell away. And we're praying for them that they will know the love of God. Does prayer matter? Yep. Prayer matters. Prayer matters a lot. It's God's way. See, prayer is not just getting things. Prayer is knowing the one who can give you everything. Relationship. Knowing Him. That's what we want for these folks here. So let's pray. Father, we are grateful that You love us. We're so grateful that You love us that we pray over these individual people. That we pray for them, Father, that as people who admit these in the notebook we're praying over have not accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, come to Jesus, they have not obeyed the gospel, we ask You to help them do that. Some in there, Father, we know have quit, fallen away. They got discouraged. They forgot that you love them so much. We pray for this to change in their lives, for them to grow, for them to understand that someone will talk to them, that somebody will come across their path, that they'll hear it on a broadcast of some kind, or they'll hear it when dropping by a church maybe and deciding to go in and check it out and hearing just what they need to hear. Thank you, Father. You're answering these. I know you're answering our prayers. We know some have already been answered, and we know that many of these in this book, this notebook, we will never even know. But we trust you. We trust you to love them. We trust you to love us. We trust you that as we come to you, you care what we care about because we care what you care about. We care because you care about lost people. You're not willing that any should perish. So we look forward, Father, to more and more, greater and greater answers to these prayers in Christ's name. Amen.